You're listening to Morning Edition on Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm Bradley George. Coming up, we'll check in with GPB's Sarah McCammon, who's on the campaign trail for NPR. But first, a recent poll shows Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in a statistical tie among Georgia voters. And the state's Republican leaders are embracing Donald Trump with varying degrees of enthusiasm. Let's talk the week in politics with GPB's Bill Nigut. Bill, good morning.
Hey, hi, Bradley.
Let's start off with this WSB poll that came out last week. It showed asking voters who they would vote for if the election were held today, the today being when the poll was taken. Trump, 42%, Clinton, 41%, about 16% undecided. Is there anything we can divine out of those results so early on in the general election contest?
You made the best point. Early on, 6 months until election day, the fact that more than 16% are undecided suggests that there's going to be a lot of movement in this poll. I talked last night to a real Democratic Party Georgia insider who does a lot of fundraising for the party, and I asked, do you really think that Hillary Clinton is going to be a viable candidate in Georgia? And this person said, we don't really think so. We think this is a red state, but clearly we've got to continue to talk her up here. So that's fascinating to hear that from I've heard it from a couple more, that the Democrats don't see this becoming a blue state in 2016. But you're right, the poll shows that right now, voters are up in the air about this thing.
But we could perhaps see Hillary Clinton coming to Atlanta to raise money for her campaign. We have
Absolutely.
Seen that in the past.
Because Absolutely. Georgia has been a cash cow for the Clinton campaign. That's perfectly reasonable. And so she will probably come in here. She may also come in here to force the Trump folks to play defense in trying to win Georgia.
So we'll see that shake out as we do finally move into the general election phase of this campaign. It seems like it's
gone on
forever.
Well, not if Bernie Sanders has something to say about it, but that's another point.
Well, he has said that he's going to stay in until the end, until June. The comments about Donald Trump this week, we've seen Some interesting statements. House Speaker David Ralston said that Trump's really going to have to do some work to earn trust from some parts of the party. He said it's his job as the nominee not just to be embraced, but to embrace.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, Governor Nathan Deal said, hey, maybe some of these people who have criticized Trump in the past, maybe they need to give him a second look and a second chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Nathan Deal, of course, voted for Jeb Bush, announced that. He did not endorse anybody prior to the Georgia primary. And the governor did say that Mitt Romney was wrong to criticize, to condemn Donald Trump after he became the presumed nominee for the Republican Party. Johnny Isaacson had the best response of all. He was asked the other day whether he was going to support Trump, and he says, this is one of those days I wish I had laryngitis. Look, where are they going? Where are these Republicans here in Georgia and across the country going to go except tiptoe toward Trump? Especially in a red state like Georgia, where Trump won by a wide margin in the Republican primary, in 2016, the right move is to move toward Trump. Now, the problem with that is, how do they look at what happens in 2020? In 2024, as the demographics of this state continue to change, are they changing the face of the Republican Party so dramatically that down the road, it's really going to hurt them?
Elsewhere in Morning Edition today, we're hearing from Eric Erickson, who is one of the Republicans who's in this never Trump camp. And he didn't really have a good answer for who he's going to support in the presidential ticket. He talked about, defending some of these Senate races, some of these congressional races, the down ballot contests. But in terms of an outlet for Republicans who don't want to support Trump, there aren't a lot of options for them in terms of a presidential ticket at this point.
There simply aren't. Now, Ted Cruz is making noise again. He's going into Texas this weekend to push hard to get Texas delegates who will line up with him at the convention. Partly that's over hoping to have some control of the platform conversation. But he's essentially saying, who knows, maybe there is still a path down there. So, but it's heading Trump's way. We all see that.
And you mentioned Johnny Isaacson. He's one of the senators up for re-election this year. Jim Barksdale, who's the Democratic candidate who has the support of the party apparatus, he's out with his first TV ad this week.
Yeah, he's wearing a touring cap and making a lot out of that. A touring cap is one of those little snap brim caps if you haven't seen the commercial. And I think his commercial team is saying, hey, if David Perdue could make a blue jeans jacket work as a symbol that people would keep in their minds in his race, that maybe this touring cap of Barksdale's will do him some good. The fact of the matter is that it's an incredible uphill fight to try to beat Johnny Isaacson. He is very likely the single most popular elected official in the state of Georgia. Democrats have never been able to find a way to get a good candidate who could possibly beat him.
And unlike senators in some of these other states where there are competitive Senate seats, maybe not so worried about having Donald Trump at the top of the ticket in terms of affecting his vote.
Well, that's what you're so right. I mean, that's why it was interesting that as other Republicans here are sort of quietly saying, yeah, well, Trump's OK, that Isaacson could get away with what his comment was the other day, which was, I wish I had laryngitis, because in a way, I think Isaacson is as bulletproof as anybody can be. Against any backlash that we might see for Donald Trump.
All right. What you got coming up on the show today?
We're going to talk about the AJC poll of presidential.
They have a new poll coming out
this
afternoon.
They have a brand new poll coming out, and we're going to get to share the first results of it with listeners. So we're looking forward to having Jim Galloway do that with us this afternoon.
All right. That's Bill Nigut, host of Political Rewind, which you can hear this afternoon at 3 on GPB Radio. Bill, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bradley.
All right. Now let's check in with Sarah McCammon. She's NPR's GPB's Savannah Bureau Chief, but NPR has scooped her up for the year to cover the presidential campaign. She spent a lot of time in the past week or so in Nebraska, which held its presidential primary earlier this week. Sarah, you've been in Nebraska, and Senator Ben Sasse, freshman Republican, he has been one of the most outspoken GOP leaders in saying that he will not support Donald Trump. Why is that?
Right. He was one of the first nationally prominent Republicans, the first Republican senator to come out and say a couple of months ago that he would not vote for Donald Trump. And he has stuck to that. And since Trump has become the apparent nominee, he has put out another. He likes to write these open letters, basically holding forth on the state of politics. He describes both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump as New York liberals. He's expressed concerns about what Trump actually believes, whether he's a true conservative. He has been, one of the most vocal conservative Republicans saying they won't vote for Donald Trump.
Well, Trump won the Nebraska primary. And of course, he's the only candidate left in the race, but still, it was a pretty convincing win. What does Sasse's constituents that you talked to there in Nebraska think about his opposition to Trump?
The Republicans I talked to in Nebraska themselves, some of them were wrestling with whether to vote at all at the top of the ticket. I meet a lot of people across the country, Republicans included, who are struggling with some of Donald Trump's rhetoric and his tone. I hear from some who are saying he's the nominee, I'll vote for the nominee. Others who are just not sure if they're just going to leave that one empty. You know, I went to Sasse's hometown, a little town called Fremont, Nebraska, on the eastern side of the state. You know, I did meet some people who said, I don't really know that much about him or care what he thinks. My sense is that among conservative Republicans who are drawn to people like Ben Sasse, who are vocal conservatives, a lot of them seem to sort of understand this struggle and whether they themselves are going to vote for Trump or not. What they're saying to me is it's sort of his call, what he wants to do.
These nomination contests are coming to a close on both sides. As we start to pivot toward the general election, how does that change your approach in covering the campaign?
Well, I think it's time to kind of watch and see what the two nominees do, what they say, how they try to, reach across the aisle and bring in moderate voters and undecided voters, especially Donald Trump. You know, he has been such a juggernaut on the Republican side, and yet he does have a lot of Republicans that are uneasy about his candidacy. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he changes his tone, if he changes his approach. He suggested that he doesn't want to be, quote unquote, too presidential because he said that that's kind of boring. And really, his current approach of saying things that generate controversy has worked for him this far.
So you mentioned the language that NPR is using to describe Trump as the apparent nominee. Can you talk a little bit about that process and how you came to use that phrase to describe him?
I know I take my cues, obviously, from editors who know more about this than I do. And if you want to look up Mark Memmott, he's sort of the ethics ombudsman at NPR, who I think in collaboration with some other editors came up with exactly how to talk about this. And different media outlets use different terms. But because he hasn't yet gotten to 1237, the number of, you know, the majority of delegates needed to clinch the nomination, we have decided to stay away from saying presumptive nominee. But for now, it's sort of de facto nominee, apparent nominee. There's no one standing in his way. There's no one else in the race. And if you look at the delegate math, he's almost certainly going to get there. Of course, you know, the convention in the summer still has to meet. Delegates still have to vote. Rules can be changed, but it's, you know, realistically unlikely that that happens, we think, just because Trump has gotten the most votes. He has a lot of momentum, a lot of energy behind him. And, you know, it would be tough to change the rules at this stage of the game.
That's GPB's Sarah McCammon covering the presidential race for NPR. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Sarah is next headed to Iowa, where she's going to talk with evangelical voters about whether or not they're supporting Donald Trump. You can listen for her reporting coming up next week on Morning Edition and All Things Considered here on GPB.